Hey guys, this is Ordinary Christians, episode 10, and this is Ron Sitlau, and I'm hosting a episode on The Last Dance because I know nothing about it, and Derek Buchema and Bob Bauer have more than enough things to share, so stay tuned.
Buckle up, everybody. This is going to be fun.
That's right.
Today, we are talking about The Last Dance. And because the only thing I know about dancing on TV is Dancing with the Stars, I have been made host. And so before we go on, Derek, tell us what The Last Dance is.
I'm very happy to tell you what The Last Dance is. This is my favorite topic yet. It's been something I've been asking for as long as Ordinary Christians have been in existence.
I've been blessing it too, but Ron Sitlau has been a little bit of a stickler with this one.
I was like, I have to watch 12 hours of TV about basketball.
So The Last Dance is a documentary that is ostensibly about the Chicago Bulls in their last season, their last championship season in 1998, but is most specifically about Michael Jordan. It's really a Michael Jordan documentary. It's a 10-part series. As of the time of recording, we have seen 6 of the episodes. By the time this is released, it's very likely that 8 of the episodes will have been released. But this will be a discussion of the first 6 episodes of The Last Dance.
Yes, oh my goodness. How long is Chicago each episode? Bulls.
Each episode is 1 hour long.
And oh Sunday goodness, night, they release 2 at a time on Sunday nights. And I, because Derek's younger, I go to bed after the first episode and I watch the next one the next night because I'm old. And the other thing is really fascinating in my household is my wife is on the edge of her seat just like I am, as much as I am. I don't know about you, Derek.
One of the things that I've loved, because my wife is much younger than me in a responsible way, right? It's not weird. It's just that she's much younger
than
me.
Let's go ahead and cover that topic next.
Because the Bulls, this like championship Bulls team was really big when I was in middle school, but when she was in like first grade. So she never really experienced Michael Jordan. So she's kind of seeing him for the first time, and watching the documentary with her is great because she's like, it's like he's just floating. It's like he has a different relationship to gravity than the rest of the players playing basketball.
That's a good point.
It's so fun watching that with her and seeing her experience Michael Jordan and understanding why he was called Air Jordan.
So what's so compelling about this? Is it because it's kind of an expose on him and seeing his life and his ability to play?
It's a good question, Ron. But I think for me, because I've lived through that, I was at all of their 6 championships. For me, it's behind the story behind the story. Like, we're getting to know players that we didn't know their stories. You know, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr, Michael Jordan, certainly the Jerry Krause episode and how he brought in Phil Jackson. And, you know, he took this no name Puerto Rico. I think he was an assistant coach or a head coach there. And he's got him in the NBA and then brought him out. And then he got really big. And then Jerry Krause got really small. Mm-hmm. And that created a huge feud. So there's a lot of nuances that I didn't know, even though I was so involved in the championship reigning years here in Chicagoland.
I think that it's so compelling for a number of reasons. One is there's no live sports right now. So this is like the best thing that we've got. And as somebody that loves sports, it's nice to be able to have some semblance of sports through this documentary. The other thing is that it's an incredibly nostalgic thing for me. I was in early grade school when the Bulls were winning their first, second, and third championship, grade school at that point. And I was in late grade school and middle school when they won their second 3 championships. And I remember especially that second three-peat years, my parents would put me to bed. I would get out of bed. I had a little radio in the corner of my room. I would tiptoe across the room and I would just put my head near the speakers of the radio and listen to Bulls games because I was obsessed with that Bulls team. And so
So it's kind of like idolatry. That's so cute.
It was
busted.
Yeah, you've revealed the wickedness of my own heart and the fact that my own heart is an idol factory.
So it really was. So this is really for both of you. Is like a return to something nostalgic and that was, you know, life-giving and existentially, you know, outside of yourself and enjoying something that you're returning to now in the midst of the outside world. You know, we're all dying of a pandemic.
You know what I find fascinating, though? It's not just Chicagoland. This is a like number, it's overtaken that, what, Tiger King? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, that's my show, by the way. Everyone, Tiger King, that'll be our next conversation. Yeah.
But we're going to talk about Ron's idolatry when we talk about Tiger King.
I have many.
The viewership has passed that up, which is fascinating that it's not just Chicagoland in that process. And
why do you think that is?
I think it's so compelling. Oh, well, I'll throw my little two piece. Well, there is the current really good basketball player, LeBron James. But everybody thought he's the best player of all time. But these episodes have clearly proven that Michael Jordan is way better than LeBron.
This is very true. One of the things that an ordinary Christian should take from this documentary series is that we're not supposed to commit false testimony. We're not supposed to commit false testimony and say that LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time.
That's true.
We need to tell the truth as Christians and be like, yes. Yeah, MJ, the best to ever lace up those sneakers.
I think those people are coveting. I think they're sinning in the covenanting.
I want to ask, what are the major, each of you guys, give me a major sports insight that you learned, like something about this championship team that other teams, other franchises need to think about.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that have come out. One of the things that have come out is that I didn't realize how dysfunctional, especially this last championship Bulls team was. And so I didn't realize what deep dysfunction there was under the surface.
And that caused kind of this, they're falling apart and not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I mean, there are so many eye-opening things that have come out of this. And I think a lot of things that Christians should pay attention to. Obviously, whenever we are watching something, we should still try to have our Christian worldview in place, and we should try to understand what it is that we're watching and experiencing through our Christian worldview. I remember talking to the president of Wheaton College when I was there, Dwayne Litfin, and he said, I talked to a number of students and they're like, I just want to go to a movie and turn off and just absorb what it is that I'm watching. And he's like, when you're doing that, that's exactly when you should not be turning off your Christian grid. That's the time where you should need to make sure that it's in, like, that it is in place and that you are thinking Christianly about what it is that you are receiving. Otherwise, you're going to be shaped in the wrong sorts of ways. And so I think that in this documentary, there are all sorts of things like that. And Ron, you hit on one of those. One of the things that the documentary points out, and I didn't realize this, I knew nothing about the front office stuff, is that Jerry Krause was brought in to put together this team around Michael Jordan, really did a fantastic job as a general manager in doing that. He got Scottie Pippen, great number two to Michael Jordan. He brought in Horace Grant. He had Phil Jackson come in, run the triangle offense. Phil Jackson was able to get Michael Jordan to be unselfish and bring the other team along. And then Krause brought in Tony Kukoc. He brought in Dennis Rodman. These were all great moves. These are moves of an excellent, excellent GM. But then one of the crazy things that happened is that he seemed to have become jealous of the fame and success of the other players and would diminish their accomplishments, talk about how the organization was more important than them.
Yes.
And then told Phil Jackson that no matter how well he coached his final season, that he was going to be gone. And this was all based upon his hubris and his pride. And he realized that it was the pride of Jerry Krause that then led to the downfall of the championship Bulls and led to them no longer having a championship team ever since that period of time. They've been relatively irrelevant with a couple of exceptions with the Derrick Rose years when he was healthy. But the organization has just crumbled and has been bad since the late 90s when Jordan left. And its crumbling was due to the pride of Jerry Krause.
No doubt. For me, I think what has struck me as an ordinary Christian, Ron, is...
I'm here.
It's somewhat sad watching the life of Michael Jordan. First of all, it is in a fantasy world where now he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And, recently it came out that his agent said, hey, you can make, we have a event where you can make $2 million. All you have to do is be there for 2 hours. He said, I don't need the money.
It was $100 million for two hours.
$100 million. Yeah. But I think what hit me in this last episode in particular was that scene where he was so popular and so much like the Beatles you know, where they just swarmed him, that he was, remember, he was locked down in that, in his hotel room and said, this is the only place I can really find peace.
Wow.
And that made me so sad because I'm like, everybody has this guy think this world is so amazing. He can do whatever he wants. He can blah, blah, blah. That's true. But he was literally a captive to his hotel room.
Mercy.
The other thing that has come out as it relates to that is that Jordan is interviewed a lot in this documentary, and Jordan does not look good. He does not look healthy. I mean, my wife was watching him. She's like, he looks like he is in liver failure because he has yellow eyes. And he looks very unwell. And it is a sobering reminder of the fact that you may have been born with some of the most incredible athletic talent that God has ever blessed anybody with, but time will still keep marching on.
Mercy.
And the way that you live your life is going to catch up to you. Just because you are extraordinarily talented, because you are incredibly wealthy, does not mean that you are free from the constraints of human life. And it is, it's a reminder that there is nothing that's going to fill you up or satisfy you or save you outside of Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are.
Let me read you guys this quote that I found last week. It's the author's unknown, but I think it speaks to what you guys are saying right now. Some men's lives of rare promises and rare achievement have ended in failure. It's awful to think of this, but it is true. Yet it is necessary. S.D. Gordon has said that the only assurance of safety against this tragedy is a fresh touch with God. We need it daily and hourly. And it's so interesting to me that you look at Michael Jordan, as famous as anyone else in the world, known around the world, and he was given the very thing he wanted, and it's not enough.
That's right.
I actually find myself watching the episodes when I see Michael longing for a prayer that I used to pray when I first came to Faith Church. This is, you guys are going to crack up. I prayed that God would save Michael Jordan in Chicago and that he'd go to Faith Church. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, the most important, that God would save him, because it is a sad, he has sad sections of his life. I mean, there was the gambling episodes. We don't actually know the gap year when he left, what was really going on there. Was it related to gambling? His dad was murdered, you know, that whole thing. And I do still find myself going, oh, I just hope and pray that he comes to Jesus Christ, because it is a, yeah.
Okay. I think his mother is a sincere Christian.
Yes.
And I hope that she gets to him and brings him to church, and that he has a real encounter with the God of the universe and is saved, because
amen.
I think there's sadness there. One of the things, Ron, that comes out in this is that I wonder if there is something of a father wound that's there. Michael Jordan's dad is interviewed. It's an interview from I think the late 80s or early 90s, where he talks about how Michael Jordan grew up and his father would tell him to get out of there, that he wasn't good for anything, that he that he didn't want him around because he wasn't going to be able to help out at all. He wanted his brothers around instead. And no doubt that is a deeply wounding thing for Michael Jordan to have experienced. And the other person that has always been deeply fascinating to me, he was my favorite player on the second three-peat Bulls, was Dennis Rodman, for sure.
And Rodman, he's well-adjusted. I saw him on TV the other day.
Yeah, he's deeply well-adjusted. I mean, it's crazy. What happened, I didn't realize that this happened in this final season, that he went off to Vegas. He said he needed a vacation. He went off to Vegas and just hard living, hard partying dude. And I've been obviously just talking about this with tons of people and communicating with tons of folks. There's one pastor that wrote to me, and I think that he's right. He said, in my opinion, Rodman's fundamental issue is the fear of abandonment and longing for acceptance. His deepest wounds and dysfunctions all tie to that fundamental issue. Tragically, no celebrity escapism or superficial relationships can satisfy that longing. And I think that's really true. And then he followed up. He was like, I'm not looking down on Dennis, though. I believe we all have a lot more Dennis Rodman in us than we realize. Time and time again, we have to be reminded of our full acceptance in Christ Jesus.
You know, what's interesting about Rodman is the scenario that when he came to the NBA, he was just an average, normal player. He didn't have that flamboyantness. And then it's almost he picked up an identity that he really loved, because everybody started to focus on his extremes, his ludicrousy. And then also at the same time, the episodes reveal a very benevolent guy. Like when he went to Vegas, he bought everybody in every nightclub, every drink imaginable, and they said food and whatnot. And then after he's left his pro career, he continues to have that side of him where they said that he would do things that no one would know about. In fact, he would say, if people find out that I'm the source of this giving, I'm taking it all back.
It's another instance. I mean, Rodman didn't know his father until the 2000s. His father had his name changed to Philander Rodman, and he is the father. I listened to an interview with the filmmaker about this afterwards. I mean, the fact that Dennis Rodman's father has, I think he has 29 children. And changed his name to Philander was never in Dennis's life. I mean, the fact that this reality creates a terrible amount of devastation in any human being. It's a reminder of how important fathers are, and how being without one really wounds somebody.
Because they're seeking for it their whole life. They have to. Every person has to have the voice of their father saying that you are enough and you have the ability to navigate and even find victory in this world. And if you don't have it, you perpetually seek it in a variety of ways. And it sounds like both of them are trying to figure that out. Okay. I want to end with this. We got into deep areas. So tell everybody why they should watch this. Like, what is it on?
It's on TV. We have to do a caveat. We have to be careful. We can't bless the language because it has got some pretty dicey language.
Oh, that's why I don't watch it. When I do my Bible reading.
I think I'll close my statement this, that there's lots of things I've really enjoyed about it. I have sadness sometimes when I see some of their lives messed up. But one of the things that really fascinated me is the discipline of Michael Jordan. I heard an interview this week, Bill Weddington, who was the center there during the years, and he said, Michael Jordan came to every single practice and he, every practice, gave 110%. He goes, you just get caught up in that because if you are slacking at all, he was in your face. And there's something about his discipline that, you know, even as ordinary Christians, part of our walk is discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about That's you, true. Derek? Why should I watch this?
I appreciate the caution that Bob has given, and there is a caution that there is mature language that's used, and there are words that I thought that you had to bleep on television that are not bleeped in this documentary that exactly. I was not anticipating. I didn't think you were allowed to broadcast those words on TV. So you know, watch it with your Christian worldview.
Hey, kids, come on in. Pastor Derek has something to watch.
Don't just invite your kids to watch this along. They should be asleep.
They should
and then
be.
From 8 to 10, you can watch this with a discerning eye, discerning way. But I think that there are a couple reasons that I really love it. I love the nostalgia factor. I think that the Bulls team is one of that second three-peat championship Bulls team is one of the favorite of, you know, the United States of all time. It's fun to just see that. I think that there is something that is poetic and beautiful and almost like art in the way that Michael Jordan was able to play. I mean, the way that dude mastered the game is genuinely beautiful and it's compelling to watch. It's exciting to be able to experience some kind of sport. Again, if you're in a person that enjoys sports like I do, watching sports, then this is a great way to engage in that. I think that there are a whole host of things that are brought to light in the course of this that show again and again and again that Jesus really has to be what it is that you live for. Anything else is going to destroy you. Nothing else is going to be sufficient. And I mean, it's just... Michael Jordan was a charismatic, compelling dude, and you can see that, especially in the way that he was living his life there in the 80s and 90s. I mean, just such a funny guy in charismatic and compelling, just engaging in that sort of way. So it's a fun watch, and with a lot of themes that a Christian can take and be like, oh my goodness, this is really important for me to remember in the course of. In the course of my walk, that this does not satisfy, that this will not be enough. And then, sports are really, really great.
Well, if it isn't the Chicago Cubs, I don't really care.
Ooh, but, That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, I'm ready to do that. You want to talk about an epic adventure of life. We are there, man. So guys, thank you so much for doing this. I learned a lot. I'm not sure if I'll retain it, but I did enjoy talking about it. And goodbye, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.